Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. This is PJ, your internet pastor. That's right. No church, no pulpit, just the microphone, a brain, and a heart, all fashioned to do one thing. To share with you in this humanoid body of mine that I live in, some ideas. And these ideas were not made up by me. I didn't smoke some drug and find the answer to my dilemma in a cloud of crystal meth. No, that's not my way of coming to reality. My way of coming to reality is not also found in a bottle or a can, meaning that whatever I drink or put in my body has become a part of my intellect and has influenced it, influenced the words that I say and how I say these words and how they're intended. No, my entire being, everything that moves within me, as a human being, is drawn upon, not as a magic trick, that is, not as something that you can look at and smirk up and say, well, I don't believe that bull crap. Or, well, you know, that's, we don't think like that anymore. Or things like, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to trick me to get me to join your religious organization. To hell with you. I'm not talking to you. You need to turn me off. I'm not talking to people that think that I'm trying to play the tricks that they play on themselves. I'm a mind totally freed from that. And what I'm going to talk about today is, I think, very, very important. But I'm speaking to you from an ancient book. Let me share with you the worth of the book of Proverbs. And I have some of these written down in my notes, and I'm just going to comment on it because I think that the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, and that is one of the 66 books that's found in one book. I do believe that there were other books written. Some had things in it that some of the translators didn't like, and they tore them out and threw them away. So I do not believe that we have the whole of what was written. And I also believe that some of these things were not only written, but believed far further from the time that they were first written. And they were believed by human beings. In other words, the truisms are universal truisms. Proverbs is a collection of moral and philosophical maxims of a wide range of subjects presented in a beautifully orchestrated poetic form. You have to know that. The book sets forth the philosophy of practical life. And so as you listen to me, as I utilize this 2020 vision, I'm going to be talking to you about the practicality of life. And I'm no dreamer. I'm not a person that sees myself as something and then creates that something that I see myself as. When I was born as I am. Okay, I tell people, because of my fond pleasure of being around men, I love being around men. I don't know why, I just love being around men. And my male friends that come by to see me know that I love being around men. Now, I'm not going to try to explain to you why that is. I love being around men more than I could ever love to be around women. Now, are you like that? Can you say that? Will you say that? Do you have the gall to say that in a society that would marginalize you because you told the truth? Now, this truth isn't problematic to most people, because most people would tell you that they like certain things over other certain things. Sometimes these things come out in our sexual preferences. Sometimes they come out in the kinds of cars that we like to drive or the kinds of clothes that we like to wear. We here in the Western Hemisphere of the Americas lavish ourselves. I mean, when you look at the globe and look at the United States, in this portion of the world, people in this portion, especially where I live, come on, man. I got at least $100 in the bank. I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing better than most people that live all over the globe, because I'm an American and I'm here. I know that. Now, I can change that by throwing away everything that I have and living like a hermit, going into the jungles and trying to find my way out. I don't want to do that. I was telling someone earlier today that I live in, I think, the greatest country in the world. We were having the conversation because a person told me, yeah, they feed me. Yes. All you have to do is just come here and put your name on the dotted line, especially in this giveaway state that I live in. I'm just keeping it real. It's no wonder that the people from the south of the border is doing everything that they possibly can to come to this country. I do it too. But let's get back to this book of practical life. It is a sign to us that the Bible does not despise common sense and discretion. And that's what I love about this book, because most people in the environment that I live in aren't using common sense. You know, it takes common sense. Often I think about something. If you are in a position of leadership, ownership, powership, because you have power, because you own. And this is also a very uncomfortable kind of thought to have when you're living on the West Coast of the Northern Hemisphere of the Americas, because you're supposed to believe that everybody has all things in common. No, they don't. But unfortunately, that is what we have been brought to believe. And that belief is not justified. I would say that the whole strength of the Hebrew language and of the sacred authority of the book is thrown upon these homily truths, that there is a good to be done, or there is a negative that can be done. This book deals with, in that refined, disclaiming, careful view of the finer shades of human character, so often overlooked by many today. Human character is a beautiful thing when you look at it. If a person can say openly and out in the open what truth is to themselves, but at the same time, not to flaunt that truth. Let me give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about, and then you'll understand. We live in a society, and in a society, and this happens to be, even though it doesn't show itself to be purely a democratic society, we are living in a democratic society. So therefore, there are certain expectations of this society, or of living in this society, which has been placed upon us. In other words, certain expectations. We expect a person to comply with the moral laws of the society that we live in. Let me give you a good example. Here in the United States of America, it is illegal for you to strip down butt naked and walk down the street, or to walk in a mall, or a grocery store, or a gas station, anything. You cannot even have your children walking down the street in this country naked. All right? In the United States of America, its citizens do not walk around naked. We just don't do that. Put some clothes on. Don't nobody want to see you, smell you, or even take a glimpse of where waste comes from your body. All right? All right? Or where you feed your babies with that big old nipple that you have on your chest. Now, you can take the human body and turn it into an erogenous zone for the whole world to see, or you can accept that there are laws that are expected to be kept. And, you know, I dare say that here with 2020 vision and hindsight, insight, foresight, all kind of sight, it looks like what this modern day society has done a little bit like what the Third Reich did back in Germany in the mid-30s, just went on into the Reichstag and start changing all the laws, rewriting the laws, putting in stupid people to govern you, people that are just there to show you the quickest way for you to burn up the tax revenue in the culture that you're living in. Let's face it, we're living in a day and age when the national plight has been gutted, and it has been gutted by people that are irresponsible. I can say that because I'm an old man and I don't fear anybody, and you can put me in prison, I'll die saying it. You may torture me, I'll be tortured dead saying it. We have given ourselves over to the company store, we have sown to the wind, and we are about to reap the whirlwind. That's the way I look at things. And I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying that that's the way they are. This book is going to show us and give us some insights. Let's get right down to it. I want to start at Proverbs chapter 10 and read to you, if I can, verses 1 through 14. Well, let's just start at verse 1. In the beginning of this chapter, we see a formal understanding of the book of Proverbs because we understand that these proverbial sayings are to be seen as short capsules of wisdom. Just short capsules. When you read from verse to verse in chapter 10, the short capsules, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. You see the positive and the negative, wise and foolish. There are wise things that you can do, and there are foolish things that you can do. Now, you can be of any religion in any culture and allow this maxim to take its worth and to go deep down into your heart and to bring you joy or sorrow. Now, these little capsules addresses particular behaviors and attitudes that we as human beings are living under all the time. You know, when you see a man walking down the street wearing a dress or a woman's suit or a woman, there are no differentiations now. You can wear whatever you want to wear in this country, anywhere you want to go and wear it in this country. But now let me, because I told you that I'm going to be bringing you these mind shots clear. Let me ask you the question. If you were sitting at a coffee bar, having a cup of coffee, latte, whatever you drink, and you're a man and you're sitting there at the bar, and I have very strong views on this. Some of you may become highly offended at this view, but here again, that's your problem. You deal with it. But if I'm sitting at the bar and a man, I know he's a man because he got a full beard like a man and everything, and he comes in with a woman's suit on and with fake boobs and sits next to me at the coffee bar, I'm not going to be comfortable with that. Now, you know, well, you may ask me, does he have a right to come and sit at the coffee bar and have a cup of coffee? Yes. But not next to me. I don't want him next to me. Why? Because I don't want to be identified with that. Why? Because I'm a man and I don't believe that a man, this is my own personal belief, I don't believe that a man should dress as if he is a woman in a public place where people are trying to live within their culture, their laws, their rules of etiquette. That makes me uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Now, do I sound like a racist? I'm not a racist. I don't care what color you are. If you're a man and I see you a man, I would rather you wouldn't come with a tight dress sitting next to me, flaunting yourself as if you're a woman when I know that you're a man. You may be my daddy. I don't want to sit in public with you like that, okay? Dad, if you want to meet with me at the coffee thing, you're going to have on a pair of slacks, sweats, or something, sports stuff. But you're not coming like that because I don't want to be made embarrassed in the culture that I live in. You understand what I'm saying? Now, racism is if you are a white German with blue eyes and blonde hair during the time of Nazism and a Jew with a Judas star on his arm came and sat next to you. That's racism. You just don't like them because of. No, this isn't racial that I'm talking about because I don't care what nationality you are. If you're a man and you like that, I feel uncomfortable with you sitting next to me like that. I don't care if you're my mama, my daddy, my brother. You're going to. No, don't sit next to me in public. Now, you can come by my house in a private place where I meet with you and you can do that. Because I'm just going to laugh at you and say, man, you don't look right. I mean, I'd rather see a woman in that suit because her thighs and her hips would far look better than you looking all ashy leg and everything like that. I'm just keeping it real. Just giving you one of them shots that I was telling you about, right? All right. Now, the content of the style of the first verse sets the stage for the next six chapters in this book. You can see it. It says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Do you think that it would be wise for that mother's son to put on her dress and go sit at the bar and have a cup of coffee with his own mother, dress like his mother when it's at? No, it doesn't. It comes against the very nature of this proverb. And I believe that the very nature of this proverb comes from God. Now, right there, I said, you see, the authoritative nature of the book takes its place. It puts you down and lifts up God. All right, wait a minute. Don't let me. No. I'm going to take my time with some of you because some of you have never heard a real preacher in your life. And I'm going to bring it to you like a T.I. is. You would look stupid in a woman's dress sitting at a coffee bar, and you would look even more stupider if you sat next to me. I'm not going to meet you at that place. Some of you know my life very, very, very clear and how much I love and how I love and all of that. That has nothing to do with you breaking protocol. You're not going to do it with me. I'm not going to allow it. In verse 1, we see the children's effect upon their parents. The children's effect upon their parents. A wise son makes a father glad. And so the son is looking at the child and say, you know what? You're affecting me. And so I'm going to tell you what I expect out of you. And don't become a grief to your mama. That's what he's saying. Solomon has dwelt upon the general blessings that will flow like a river from listening to wise counsel. He now shows some particular instances of it. He begins with its effect on the family. You see, because everything you do has an effect on people, but especially on the family in which you live. All right, let's go back to the man that wants to put on a woman's suit, right? And I have my grandson with me. And I said, oh, grandson, I'm going to meet a friend of mine out when we go and get that. A malted shake. Okay, Lolo. And my grandson's 17 years old. And then I take him to the coffee bar, and there this dude is. And my grandson knows that it's a dude. You know what my grandson's gonna start doing? He's gonna start laughing. It's gonna be a joke to him because he's an adolescent in his mind, and he doesn't understand the extremity of that so-called freedom. You see what I mean? It's the wise against the foolish. That's what we're looking at. And the children had an effect upon the parent. Solomon is looking at this general blessing in relationship to the father. Decisions affect other people. The father is saying, if you continue to be a wise son, you're going to make me glad. That decision to be wise affects his father. When the child does right and does it correctly, it enhances the father's life. The father is proud to present the child. Now, someone asked me earlier, well, what if you had a child that saw himself like that? Oh, I'd love my child, but I wouldn't go out with my child with him dressed like that. But I would affirm the love for my child. I would, he's still my child. I love him, but I'm not going out with him like that. Why? You know what? I remember years ago, someone asked me, they said, would you perform the marriage of a person that is gay, marrying another person? I said, I'd have to change all the rules of marriage. I said, I don't know what God I would be performing it under, because in the book it says, I created a male and female, I created he, them. I would never marry a man. I don't know why I would want to. No. And I would never, hey, check this out. I would never marry another woman. Why? I don't know why I'd want to. You get it? Do you get it? There has to be a reason for you doing anything. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. Wonderful. What do we see here? Decisions affects other people. The closer the people are, the more drastically they will be affected. Children, listen to me. Your parents are affected by how you live. And the choice of how you live may be, you know, you go to these schools nowadays and the teachers tell the children, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do, not around your parents. I don't know what you're talking about, not around your father. I wish my daughters would have raised the ugly head and told me while they're living under my roof what they were going to do in my house. Oh no. No one acts wisely or foolishly by himself alone. You see, when you make a foolish decision to do something, it affects everybody that loves you because they know you and then they see what the foolish decision has driven you to. Every life intersects with other lives. That's why I couldn't sit at the coffee counter with the dude dressed like a woman, because my life intersects and touches other people, and we cannot escape this fact. I can't escape it. I know you can't escape it. I see all of this in verse 1. All of this in verse 1. Also, we see that the mother is just as affected as the father is. Just as affected as the father is. And that there is a dual pain when the child refuses to adhere to the right kind of wisdom. See, these children say, I don't care what nobody think. That's like watching a horror movie, giving one of these kids a gun and let them get in there and shoot everybody up and laugh and say, did you see their brains come out their head? Wait a minute. You blow my brains out, you're going to see 75 years of pure knowledge wasted on the living room floor. Oh, I'm telling you, this verse 1, this is beautiful, refers to the effects of grown children on their parents. Now, I'm gonna have to take you through a plethora, since I've made that statement, I'm gonna have to take you through a plethora of verses, and so that you can see what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20 says, a wise man makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. See, it's all through the book. I won't read them all. Proverbs 17:21. Verse 25, Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, and Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3. We see this effect of grown children on their parents. As adults, they are making consequential choices that indicates the general bent of their lives, of the silly, amusing acts of childhood. And that's what I think most adults, especially in my culture, has come to now. They're thinking like children that have grown up. What a danger. That's why I love that old Bible verse. The Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I played as a child. I corresponded with my world as a child, but now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. Man, you know these people are dreaming. Oh, and I dream myself to be a positive thing. And no, you've been smoking too much. That's what your problem is. You're smoking too much. Some people, you know, they've justified the marijuana laws, and I thank God for that, because sativa is a friend of mine, and it helps me with Oh man, just the joints moving and everything. It gives me a better perspective to do life on. I'm not hooked on sativa. I'm just glad that I can just a half of an inhalant of this herb in my brain and lungs does a world of wonder for me. I am a user of medical marijuana. And I'm not ashamed to say it. This is 20/20 vision. I see clearly. That stuff helps this old man. If some of you are getting older out there and your body is feeling kind of down and bad, and you say, man, you want that sharpness again, you know, you can buy those pills. What do they call? Focus. I got a bottle of it here. Let me scoot back from this thing right here. Ah, yeah, here it is. They're called Focus Factor. See? Yeah, that's the sound of the focus factor. This is America's, they said, number one brain health supplement. Clinically shown to improve memory, concentration, and focus. Now, I've been taking these things for about 3 years, but my brain really got good when I started smoking the sativa. And before it became legalized here, I went to the doctor and the doctor wrote a prescription. I would go to some of the first marijuana shops and I'd indicate, no, I don't like that because that relaxes the body. No, I need something to stimulate my mind. I think that this herbal supplement can help older people that are suffering with dementia and many other things. And I thank God for it. And for that reason, I thank God that I'm in one of these states where that has been approved. Now, for those of you that are religiously superstitious and do not believe in herbs and things like that, stay away from what I'm talking about. Stay away from it. The more for me and the less for you. I love that. You don't have to like what I like. But let's continue to look at this. This is wonderful. Therefore, we as parents need to see what our responsibility is in the matter of raising our children. Those of you that are adults and that have children, you need to pay attention to what you are doing and saying to your children. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Discipline your sons while there is hope, and do not desire his death." In other words, for those of you that don't know what Proverbs 19:18 means, put a strap on his ass. Stop him when he's at age where he can be corrected. Stop her from going out the house looking like a whore. Talking about her teacher told her she has the right to dress any way she want to. You tell that little girl, you're not leaving my house looking like a hoe. And coming back here thinking that, wait a minute. You think I'm playing? Go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Oh, I'm tired of you. Look what it says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Then it says the rod of discipline will reprove it far from him. What do you think that rod of discipline means? Oh, yeah, I've said it on my website. It means whip their butts while they're kids. It didn't say to torture them. It didn't say to tie them to the bedpost. It didn't say to put ice drops on their head. It didn't say to treat them like that. But it said to chastise them, discipline them. So you parents need to know what your responsibility is in this case. Instead of holding your hands up, going to church, giving your preacher all your money, talking about the Lord's going to take care of him. You out of your damn mind. Let's keep on moving. Verse 2 says, ill-gotten gain do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Let me read it again. Ill-gotten gains does not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. We're talking about positive and the negative. Now, we all know what ill-gotten gain is. What is this ill-gotten gain? Let's see. Possessions that were obtained by fraud or by deceit. What's another one? Treachery of any other kind of wickedness. That's what ill-gotten gain is. Fraud, deceit, and treachery. If you got anything by those three means, that is ill-gotten gain. Now, the preacher gives a classic illustration as you go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. And that's what I like about this, because you can hermeneutically, and what I mean by hermeneutically, compare scripture with other scripture to see whether the internet preacher is telling you the truth or not. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Now, I know a whole bunch of people that fit into this category. Now, what lessons do we learn from this? The end of life does not weigh itself in those material possessions that many think is a criterion of truth test. See, it's not about how much you have. It is about what you are really worth as a human being, how your community views you. Let's go back to the coffee shop, to the man dressed in the dress. In the community, you're trying to raise a bunch of young men to be able to take pride in their community, to take pride in what they're doing and how they're doing it. I'm staying out of people's bedroom. I don't want to go in the bedroom because I believe everybody's a freak. And when they want to freak, they're going to freak. When they want to freak, they're going to hide when they want to hide. I'm not talking about that. Let's stay within the social realm of living in a society with other people. Let's take this one shot at a time as you listen to me. And I want you to come to it. Would you feel comfortable if you were at that coffee bar and a person came wrapped in a freshly ripped off bear skin before the blood had perfectly dried on it? Well, no, I wouldn't want him next to me because that stuff could get on me and poison me and get into my system. Right. In the same way, if you have a minor looking at something that is in a decent society abnormal, it will pollute the child's mind. And that is what has happened to most of the males in this country. Their minds have been polluted. To have them to think that they can do almost any damn thing they want to do, anytime they want to do it, without anybody trying to come back and to correct that. I personally believe that this is going to be the decade that's going to bring about a change behind all of that. Because as we continuously run out of resources and ways that we can prove ourselves to be a people of national, that we can become people that are not nationally disgraced by what we're putting forth. My friends, what does this verse teach us in Proverbs 19 and 1, the one that we just read? I'll tell you what it teaches, that there are rewards for living wisely. To do what is right is always better than pretending that things are like something other than what they are. And that's what I think a dreamer is. Life isn't the way you think it is. Yeah, I know, you know, people come to me. I got one guy, he always comes to me with the homelessness question. Well, John, what about the homelessness? I don't know. I can't solve that. I don't have the money in my hand. I tell you one thing. I seen just today a person had on Facebook that he remodeled, had his old house torn down and rebuilt a brand new house. He took his little camera and went from room to room, new furniture, new everything. And I said, you know, that's a beautiful thing. The house looks like a showroom floor house. Beautiful. But I'm more concerned about what's living in the house. And I'm not saying that the person is not a decent living man, because he is. He and his lovely wife and lovely child. And I wish them all the wonderful success in the world. But he paid for that. He did that. That didn't come out of a dream vision. I know the man. That came out of hard work and a disciplined character. What do we see in Proverbs 19 and 1? You can turn your Bible back there. I won't read it to you again. Yeah. This does not mean that wealth is wicked. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that if you have a lot of money, you're a wicked person. No, 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 no. You have to retain the balance. Wealth that is gained through dishonest means reveals the state of a person's heart. You have to know that. It's how you got that wealth. And then what you're going to do with that wealth. Let's move on down to verse 3. Back on Proverbs chapter 10. If you follow along, I'm enjoying this. And you know what? I know some of you may not like the illustration that I used about the man dressed in a skirt, but you can change that illustration and let it mean anything that you'd like to in your mind. But I'm telling you that when it comes against a cultural dictum or the way a culture is lived, you must put forth more than the weak arguments that I've been getting in the past 6 months. Simple as that. Moving on to verse 3. Oh, look at this. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. Now, look at this. This is most beautiful. This verse seems to contrast other verses that we've read like this. Look at this. This is very interesting. Proverbs 10 and 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger. You know what this is saying? This is plain. If you are a person that is seeking to do right, to live right, to think right, to behave in the correct manner, to love people, love that guy that's sitting at the bar in the skirt. I didn't say that I didn't love him. I love the cat. I just don't want to be seen talking with him, communing with him, like I think that is decent in the culture that I live in. I would talk to him in private. I would tell him what I really feel. It's like I told you, I went to that circus thing. A friend of mine invited me to go to this magic castle. And I told my friend, I love my friend. I said, thank you for the invite, but don't ever invite me to stuff like that. Don't I have a right to say that? You have a right to say to a person, if they bought you a Christmas gift that was offensive to you, to give that gift back and say, hey, man, I'm not like this, really. Let's get the record straight, okay? That's the way you talk to people. That's the way it is. Why? Because you're a man. And you're not afraid of the consequences of being a man, because a man knows exactly why he says what he says, what he intended to mean by the statement when he made it, and what that statement meant after he said it, and he can prove that it was the right thing to say because look at the results of it. It's right before you. That's what the book of Proverbs leads you to. When you look at Psalm chapter 34, verse 9, why don't you go there with me? Psalms chapter 34, verse 9. Hope you guys are at home while you're going through this with me. And so you can take your time and turn to it. I'm not in a hurry. Psalm 34 and 9 says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. Did you read that? Seeing everybody thinking that they're going to be on a magic genie quiz to try to make their life work. Fear God and you won't have a need of anything that you need. Fear Him. Because if you fear Him, you think right, live right, and procure what's right. And you're not going to change a system. Wait a minute. Ivan, I'm going to say it. I'm going to take you to the limit. Here's the question. If a man were born and raised in the South, Dixie, oh, I wish I were in Dixie, hooray, hooray, in Dixieland. I don't know the song. Where to take my stand away, oh, down in Dixie, hooray, hooray, away, all down in Dixie. Now, if a person had a Confederate flag in their living room, where they have the big wide screen, right over the big wide screen. The question is, since that person grew up in that culture, and everybody in that culture had that flag, their great grandfathers had that flag, knew what that flag meant to them, do they have a right in America to have that flag in their house, tagged on the wall, waving, since we're not allowing that flag to be put on any pole in this country because it's offensive to many whites and to practically all the blacks, except for crazy black men like me that have a way of thinking that, well, that's the culture that they grew up in. I think that they know that they can't go out and be terrorizing black people and killing them and all that. But the flag stands for much more than that. Stands for a way of life. Stands for a culture. It stands for a way to believe something. Do they have a right in their home to have those secret beliefs between their own family members and things like that? The answer is yes. Hell yes. Because in our homes, each of us have those cognitive dissonant rules that we keep, that we snickle as we sit at the table and talk about other people of other nationalities, those WOPs, what do we call them? Italians, right? The niggers, the brown people, the Puerto Ricans, the Dominicans, they're trapped between the two. You feeling it? You feeling the tension yet? You know the way that goes. It's the way that America flows, but that's what makes America, America. Do they have the right to have that flag in their house, in their vision? And they're seeing, do they have a right? Yes, in this country, the law gives them the right to do that. Doesn't mean that you have to sit next to them. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with them. I looked in some people's faces that I knew disagreed with me being there, and they knew that I was not a member of the club. Now, there may be other black members of the club, but I don't want to join that club. because of the way that most of the people in the clubhouse looked at me. I don't want to be around them. I don't like being around people like that. Doesn't mean that I don't hate them. It means that I don't trust what I see, and I see what I know I'm looking at. And there may be coming a time in this country when all of us should open up our eyes and look around and use 20/20 vision instead of walking around here like we're thinking we're in fantasy land, in Disneyland somewhere, or waiting on the next ride. Oh, my friend, let's go to verse 4. Let's go back. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Now, this is obvious. Here we see the rewards of a half-hearted and the rewards of those that work. You're half-hearted in this verse if you're working with a negligent hand. In other words, when you put your hand to work, know what that thing is supposed to do. That would be like one of the leaders of the college saying, "John, can you teach philosophy 1? And I say, "Yes, I can," when I couldn't. See, that's putting forth the negligent hand. Oh, my friend, no matter what the job you may work in, reward from God for the service rendered is the highest pay that you can get in life. The careless worker is not concerned about the future, rather just with the present. Say, "Are you going to pay me?" One aspect of diligence is to consider the consequences of something which a fool consequently fails to do. That's very, very important. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful when I read through this book. There's another note that I want to end up on. I think I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to get through the rest of these verses because I want to talk about something that's very important. The ways in which I find myself moving these days is contingent upon what I see developing all around me. I want to thank Kenneth for enlightening me about the shooting that took place in the Texas area, that it wasn't a black man. I thought it was. I didn't know. But Ken, thanks for your enlightening me about these events. I don't do in-depth detail on what's happening. I am appalled that a person could go into a place of worship with a gun in the first place. But then again, I don't know why, because here recently I was told that some of the people that I pastored in the church where I was carried a pistol. I didn't know it. If I had known it, I would have banned them from the building and probably would have gotten shot. So I'm glad I didn't confront the people on these areas. I think it totally impossible that a man would bring a firearm into a place of worship, any place of worship, whether it be Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, whatever. It is their place of worship. I think that the time and the place of worship is the most sacred space for any human being. If one doesn't understand that human being's place, and let me put an addition onto that statement, as long as you value human life and are working for the extension of that human life and to preserve that human life, I am in your corner all the way. As long as you're there, if your religion brings that, but if your religion tells you to go around and maim, hurt, or mar another human being that's a human just like you, they may live in a different culture, a different society, a different way to eat, to make love, to do anything. If they're human beings, I mean this, you have no right to take the life of that human being. And I pray for you in this 2020 with clear vision, the worst kind of eternal judgment, that you would have the audacity to take another person's life, to shorten a person's life. Often people ask me, why do you continuously help people that hasn't been able to help themselves? Because I cannot be involved in shortening their lives. For those of you that are parents, you're waiting on the day to put your children out of the house and so that you can be free and young again. Yeah, you read me. Keep wishing and hoping and thinking and praying. Time will tell. Time will tell. Time tells its own stories. I was spending some time with a dear friend of mine, and I noticed when I looked at him what time has done to him. And, you know, when you used to see people every week, you know, you kind of like grow with them and all of that. But when you don't see a person for a while and then you see them, well, time will tell its story. But I believe that if you follow the rules of wisdom over folly, that you will live longer, that your life will be far healthier than not living that way. If you are attempting to live that way, but kind of slide off the wagon like I do from time to time, that's okay. If you have the strength, just get back up and put forth an effort of success. Because if you don't put forth an effort of success, there is nothing but failure facing you. You must think successfully about every deed, every act, every statement that comes out of your mouth. You must move on with caution, because most people in the environment that you find yourself in really has no idea how you got to the place where you are, if you are more successful than themselves. They will ask for advice. You are not their sole giver, nor their soul keeper. You are only to introduce them to the one that can bring insight. And that one is God. The idea of God. God is their creator. God is their progenitor. Bring forth that idea in your words. Not in religious terms. Don't try to get them to go to a place where everybody listens to what you listen to. Because if they're really smart, they'll say, oh, who does the guy up there talking to listen to? Then you find yourself saying, oh, well, our pastor hears from God. Is that right? Oh, why haven't I seen him with the Bible in his hand? He's been up there talking for 90 minutes, talking about what he has and how he got it. And he hasn't taken me to one verse. And this man on this webcast has been talking 54 minutes, drowning my brain with words from the black book, if you want to put it that way. What's this dude doing? See, When you're doing that, you've become an independent thinker with very good reason. And for that, I thank you for coming to my website and taking this shot of truth with me. Let me know what you think about these questions. Share these questions with some of the friends that you hang out with and see how they will address it. God bless. Be cool.